Welcome to Fantasy Focus. Today's podcast is presented by Geico. You can watch us every weekday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time on ESPN's Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube feeds, as well as the ESPN app. And you can download Fantasy Focus wherever you get your podcasts. Field, Matthew, Stefania, and Daniel all here as we move forward to week 9.
We're on to week 9.
We are on to week 9. And we have all kinds of news to catch you up on. We will recap last night's Monday Night Football game, which actually didn't feature that much offense, which was a surprise to me. Plus some significant news involving not just a former NFL MVP running back, but the closest thing to the league's most valuable player at running back. And that is where we start today. As Stefania, yesterday when we were on the show, I kept thinking to myself, you know, it's really important that we talk about Derrick Henry, but it's also a little bit superfluous because by the time we get back on the air Tuesday, we're going to have all sorts of new information. And with that being said, we have all sorts of new information. What more can you tell us about the timeline on Derrick Henry with that foot injury?
So Mike Vrabel spoke to reporters yesterday and announced that Derrick Henry would be having surgery Tuesday morning, today, this morning. He has a fifth metatarsal fracture in his foot. So that's, we've heard about these before. It's the long, skinny bone in your forefoot that attaches to the pinky toe. And we've seen players do very well after this kind of surgery. So I would say prognostication-wise, in the big picture, I think it's very good. Mike Vrabel was very careful to say that he was not putting a timeline on it. He was aware of reports of timelines. And he said that timelines often change and he didn't want to put the player in a bad position. I respect that because in this case in particular, we really don't know what the timeline will be. If you look at bone healing, just bone healing in isolation, takes at least 6 weeks for a fracture to heal. But then you've got to also be able to return to play, return to performance, especially when you're a volume worker like Derrick Henry. The other thing is that this is an area of the foot that traditionally does not heal particularly well. And I always like to wait until they're out of surgery to assess, you know, what they actually did during the repair, because they're not cookie cutter approaches necessarily. And what they see as a realistic prognostic outcome for him. I will say this. I think it's possible, given the injury, the player, the surgery, et cetera. I think it's possible that there is a late season return for Derrick Henry, but it will be multifactorial. It will depend on how he's doing, how the team is doing, position for the playoffs, et cetera. So potentially in that late week 16, 17, 18. And if the team's headed for the playoffs, that will influence it as well.
So first off, Stefania, a couple of things. Nice use of multifactorial. Honestly, I've never heard that before, so that's very impressive. Well done.
Okay. Don't worry.
But it's a lot of syllables, and I'm not good with syllables.
Also, so I was just if like, Matthew said the word multifactorial, I would think that he was making it up, but when Stefania says it, it sounds like a real word.
Yeah, then it becomes a real word. Right, exactly. When Princeton over there uses it, you're like, yeah. All right, so here's the other question that I have for you. And I think, fantasy-wise, like, if you hopefully you have an IR spot and you keep Derrick Henry, because if he comes back, even if there's a 10% chance he could be back for the fantasy playoffs or some of the fantasy playoffs, you have to roster him just based on that. Because honestly, if you have Derrick Henry on your roster, chances are you're in the playoff mix. Chances are your season has gone really well because he is, in fact, King Henry. So here's the other question I have for you, just thinking long term. Because one of us in this room has Derrick Henry on their dynasty team.
That's accurate.
So I'm curious, what do you think about, there's two, it's sort of, I have a two-part question for you.
Multifactorial question.
I have a multi-puzzled factorial question here.
Definitely not a word. Okay.
So no, like some fantasy analysts this year were talking about fading Derrick Henry. And the argument for fading Derrick Henry was because he'd had such a heavy workload the previous couple of years. So my first question is, do you think this injury has anything to do with his previous workload? And playing that forward, what concerns do you have for people that have Derrick Henry in keeper leagues, dynasty leagues? Because again, he's been used quite a bit and now you've got a serious injury. Having said that, he's Derrick Henry in all capital letters.
So it's possible that it's related to his workload in part. It's also, but you can't isolate that out in his case. Look, he's a running back that's built like no other running back. So it's the type of work he does, this grinding, pounding, carrying, dragging players, powering through players, and all of that load goes through your foot. And so his foot is under incredible stress. maybe in a different way than some. And again, the volume of work, we talk about that all the time because it increases your injury risk, your injury exposure when you carry a high volume of work. And some of these injuries, the specific injury that he has, are based on stress to that area, and then finally the bone breaks. We don't know the situation with him, but that's sometimes the case. I would say after you get it fixed, going forward, there is, especially in the first year, a chance of re-injury to that bone. But there's a more robust procedure you can do in the aftermath of that. And we've seen guys in the NFL go on and do just fine from this. So in the big picture, I would be comfortable carrying Derrick Henry on my dynasty team going forward.
I think you, Matthew mentioned it. If you have an IR spot, you really are, I mean, you're bound. You have to hold Derrick Henry on your roster. I'll just offer, I'd be surprised if he plays again this year. And I'm not talking about just the regular season. I don't care if they're in the playoffs. I'd be surprised if Derrick Henry plays again this season.
I would not be.
Okay, well,
and so
board
we
bet?
No, I don't want to bet on an injury situation. I'm just saying
Based off what I've heard, I'd be surprised.
I would not be.
Okay. This is a player who plays running back, who has one more chance to get a big old bite at the apple. He's got 1 year left on his contract after this. Derrick Henry needs to be mindful of the big picture in his life. And I understand that they are a very good team. And we'll see how good of a team they are in terms of win-loss record by the time that the season gets to the final few weeks. But I wouldn't be surprised if Derrick Henry does not play again this season.
I would say this, and I mentioned it already, but if the team makes the playoffs and they have a chance potentially to go to the Super Bowl.
Of course, yeah.
And you're Derrick Henry, and you know the kind of competitor he is, and you have clearance as from a health perspective that you can play, I find it very hard to imagine he would sit that opportunity.
I think that's possible. I also think, I'll just say, I think I personally would be surprised, but we'll find out later on in this season. Let's move forward.
But
then,
in terms of actual items for our listeners, we all agree.
You have to keep them.
You have to keep them.
You have a choice.
Again,
yeah.
5% chance, 10% chance, 15% chance
sure.
that you get a game or two of him
yep.
at the end of the fantasy playoffs. That upside is worth rostering him.
Really quickly, what if you don't have an IR slot? What if, for some reason,
he's
your league
doesn't... He's still more valuable than someone you have on your bench, most likely. I mean, unless you reach... I can't imagine a circumstance in which, like, some okay wide receiver or second quarterback is actually more valuable than the possibility of having Derrick Henry for one or two or three games at the end of the season.
I mean, I get the question, though, Daniel. I mean, especially, by the way, we got four teams on a bye. Like, I mean, like, you think about this week, right, where you've got... You've got Terry McLaurin. You've got all the Buccaneers wide receivers. You've got DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett on a bye. Like there's a chance you're sitting there going, like, you're searching through waivers going, like, all right, Jamison Crowder, like, you know, come on down. And, like, you're trying to feel the lineup, and you're sitting there looking like, well, I don't want to drop this guy. I don't want to drop this guy. And so, you know, if you're in a league with five, six bench spots, it becomes tougher. I think – so I get the question – I would just echo Field's thoughts, or I think you and I are on the same page, basically, is that if there is any way in which you can keep Derrick Henry, we think the upside of him in the fantasy playoffs is worth it, especially given where you likely are in your state. Like, if everything's gone wrong, then okay, whatever. But
this week you're sitting here like 6-2. I'd rather take a zero at a. I'd rather start someone on a bye than dump Derrick Henry.
1,000%, because you are likely in the playoff mix or leading your league if you have Derrick Henry. And if you have Derrick Henry and you're like whatever, 3-5, then it ain't your year. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, at that point,
like,
I guess,
you know, at that point, you're just like, listen, the fantasy gods gave you Derrick Henry and you still screwed it up. Like, it is what it is.
Let's move forward here. And we mentioned that there was a second part of this, which is that the Titans have now signed Adrian Peterson to their practice squad. Again, Matthew, you made a good point yesterday. Hey, there's a chance that the Titans' leading rusher the rest of the season is not on the roster right now. That was at 11 a.m. yesterday, and Adrian Peterson has since been signed. Now, I got to be honest with you. Over the past couple of years, when Adrian Peterson has kind of been all around the NFL map, I've been saying to myself every single time, like, he's a volume-dependent, touchdown-dependent RB2 at best.
Right, first and second down guy.
Yeah. With that being said, if there were ever a circumstance in which I could see a path to that specific role being fantasy useful, this would be it, right? I mean, how many teams have a better power running scheme than the Titans? How many teams, like, it's a really good offense, with all due respect to Daniel. He went to Detroit last year in a timeshare for a mismatch. I mean, it was, Matthew Stafford was great, obviously, but not a great offense in general, right? Like, this is a better offense, good offensive line. You know what they want to do. I actually think if there was ever a scenario in which Adrian Peterson could resuscitate his fantasy value, Matthew, this is it.
Completely agree with you. It's a very good, in addition to the scheme fit, right? It's a great scheme fit. It's a very good offensive line. Mm-hmm. And Peterson is healthy and fresh. And I get it. You're like, well, he's 36 years old. Similar to Derrick Henry in this regard, like Adrian Peterson's just built different than you or
I. Like before Derrick Henry.
1,000%. Yeah. Like he is a genetic freak of nature the way that Derrick Henry is a genetic freak of nature. Like, right. I mean, they're just, you know, he's just unbelievable. You know, all the reports are he's kept himself in shape. I believe that. I will also tell you this, just, you know, somebody who knows around Washington, obviously, that's a team that I follow very closely. I will tell you that Adrian Peterson, whatever you think of him and some of the off-the-field stuff that's happened to him previously, I will tell you that teammates love Adrian Peterson. Like, he is a big locker room guy.
Totally.
And he will, the Titans will like him, and I will tell you, teams like to block for him. I know that sounds like a dumb thing to say, but it is a real thing. And I know, like, in Washington, there was a revolt when they wanted to bench him. He is a locker room guy, and that offensive line will love blocking for Adrian Peterson, which I know sounds like dumb, but it's a big thing, actually.
I'll get to Daniel in 1 second, but I've made this comparison before. He's a Carmelo Anthony of the NFL, right? Yeah. When Carmelo was out of the NBA for a year and a half, players were in an uproar, even though all the analytics showed that this was a player who at best was average. I mean, that's at very, very best. Teammates have loved him. He was a great fit for the Blazers. He's playing well for the Lakers. Same sort of value for Adrian Peterson. People are going to look at him reverentially in that Titans locker room. And his apex was ridiculous. You go back and look at his stats from back in the day, Daniel. They are truly absurd. What do you got?
I want to know, when you say that this, you know, could potentially give him resuscitated fantasy value, what does the resuscitation look like Adrian Peterson?
I said this on the fantasy show with Matthew Berry on ESPN Plus, of course, featuring Daniel Dopp. I said this yesterday, and in our waiver wire show that's out today on ESPN Plus, stream it now, that I think he, in a best case scenario, I think he could be kind of a poor man's Damian Harris.
Two players that he reminds me of right now in the NFL in terms of running backs that we are counting on. Damian Harris is one of them.
Yep.
And Elijah Mitchell is the other one.
Sure.
Guys who basically have no passing game value. Guys who play in good running schemes behind good offensive lines and are going to be able to find the end zone. I would prefer both of those players significantly over Adrian Peterson. And I'm sick of saying, like, he's a low-end RB2. I think he is a usable running back. If he's your top running back, you're in trouble. There is definitely a chance that this all blows up on our face and he barely makes an impact.
Right.
But I think he's like put it this way, better than what we've seen out of, like, the three running backs in Baltimore, right?
Sure.
Devontae Freeman and Le'Veon Bell and Latavius Murray. Yeah, so I think there's like a top 30-ish running back play here.
I mean, listen, even on a bad Lions team last year in a timeshare, he scored 7 times. He scored 7 touchdowns. He is as good a finisher around the goal line as there's ever been in NFL history. And again, this is a team that likes to run close, and they don't have to change up their scheme. Now, there's a couple of flies in the fantasy ointment, as there were.
Okay.
Just as we've talked up this rosy picture of Adrian Peterson. And I think, to me, he's the number one pickup at running back. We'll get to waivers in a second. I'll see where you rank him. But for me, he would be my number one pickup on waivers. I will say this, though. Number one is, again, we're hearing that he's in good shape, but we haven't seen it, right?
He'll be in good shape. I'm not concerned about that part.
I agree, too. But I'm offering all the counter arguments here. We've got a trade deadline coming up, right? And Field, you're doing NFL Live, our trade deadline special,
3 p.m. Eastern time on ESPN for those interested.
So be sure to check that out, obviously. And so we will see if the Titans make another move, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, Peterson was a street free agent. It was an easy, quick sign. Okay, done. But there may be other deals that they're working on. Mm-hmm. And the last thing I want to bring up here, and I thought this was really smart. And so I just want to give a shout out to Mike Vrabel in his press conference yesterday talked about kind of multiple guys filling the role and that other teams have used multiple running backs. And so he sort of hinted at a running back by committee.
Okay.
And then put that there. And then our friend John Paulson at 444_John on Twitter tweeted this. And I think John's a really smart guy. Jeremy McNichols has been primarily a pass catcher for the Titans, but in his final year of college, he ran for 1,709 yards at Boise State. Previous season, he rushed for 1,337. Just saying that, like, and then there's a graph. You can go check out the tweet that shows there's a lot of nice underlying metrics for McNichols. Just saying that only because we assume that McNichols is a pass catcher because of how the Titans have used him. Mm-hmm. But when you have Derrick Henry, that's really all that's left mm-hmm. for another running back. Yeah,
great point. Yeah.
But now you've got 36-year-old Adrian Peterson off the street, and no matter how great a shape he's in, it's not football shape, and he'll learn the offense quickly. It's not tough. Hey, Adrian, you're going to the right, you're going to the left. Go forward, you know? Is there a chance that McNichols, is this more of a running back by committee, and that McNichols, who's a nice running back who they've used, who's been in the system and has obviously had success running the ball in college, becomes more a part of this rushing offense than maybe people initially think?
That's true. I think all that's very fair. I will say one last thing that I'll mention about the confidence in Adrian Peterson for right now. This came together fast. They didn't bring in five running backs for a workout and he won the audition, so to speak. As a matter of fact, the timeline yesterday kept moving up faster and faster. It went from, I think it started that Adrian Peterson's expected to visit the Titans at some point soon, to, hey, it's happening today, to, hey, I didn't even know the workout had begun, and he had already been signed to the practice squad with plans to eventually promote him to the active roster.
I have one last thought on Adrian Peterson that I think will just help sort of solidify sort of his value for whatever it's worth, and then we can move on. I know we've spent a lot of time on this, but it's a massive story. So yesterday we talked about this on the show that, hey, if you, because the Peterson news came up while we were broadcasting. And one of the things I said is like, look at your roster. Maybe you have a guy on bye. Maybe you have a guy playing tonight. And if your matchup's already decided, maybe waive the guy on your team that hasn't played yet tonight to go grab Adrian Peterson, so you don't have to wait in line for waivers or fab. And so I had the opportunity. So in our war room league, 16 team league, where a guy like Peterson's valuable, I had an opportunity to do that. Like, so I had Devontae Booker. And I'd already won my matchup. I didn't need what Booker did last night. So I had a choice to drop Booker for Peterson. And I ended up deciding not to do that, which may or may not, I'm curious what your guys' thoughts are. My thought process was that the upside of Booker, because he's got pass catching ability, because Saquon's been beat up this year. If the Giants lose this game, then does there come a point where Saquon gets shut down for the year? You know what I mean? Like that, I thought the upside of Devontae Booker was worth hanging on to, plus, you know, points as a tiebreaker in our league, versus grabbing Adrian Peterson. So I ended up doing that. Peterson did get picked up in our league. Schefter picked him up. He dropped Dante Pettis. Schefter's matchup was already decided as well. And he did it a couple hours after our podcast. I'm curious your guys' thought. And just, I just wanted to talk about that because that was my thought process in terms of where I rank Adrian Peterson. Like, should be a number one pickup on waivers this week. But again, like, does he have as much upside necessarily as somebody who's been productive?
I think it's a little bit specific, given that, like, you know, your roster construction is very much in play here. You have Joe Mixon and Damian Harris
Correct.
As your two running backs. We play two flexes, but those typically go to wide receivers in this
league. And I'm very deep at wide
PPR
receiver.
Scoring.
I have Jamar Chase, and yeah.
I was fine. Honestly, I think Schefter, he was pretty fast on the trigger there, picking up...
He did it at 237.
Okay, there you go. There's your answer. So... I was fine with, like, I'm fine with keeping Devontae Booker over Adrian Peterson. I don't know that it's like a slam dunk either way. I mean,
no, I don't, look, way, I thought about it. I went back and forth on it for a little bit, but I ultimately decided, yes, to your point in terms of my roster construction in the league. Oh, but I just thought, again, like, just to give people a comparison in terms of,
yeah,
you
Saquon
know,
hasn't
like,
practiced yet, by the way. Like, he could be weeks away for all we know. We don't know as of right now. We're not putting a timeline on that. But let's move forward here. And before we get to all the other injury updates and a Monday Night Football recap, let's could talk. Actually, Matthew, a word from you before we keep our injury updates going, because we went heavy on the Adrian Peterson and Derrick Henry stuff.
If you watched Monday Night Football last night on ESPN, and I watched the Manning cast, and it's so fun. It's so good. I mean, like, and I get accused of being a company man, and absolutely, but in this particular case, like, no one has said anything to me. I just, those guys are great. Like, it's awesome. I really, really enjoy that. So if you happen to catch either the Manning cast or our main broadcast, which also does a great job, you probably saw a trailer for The Book of Boba Fett. Let's go! The Book of Boba Fett is coming to Disney Plus on December 29th. My birthday, by the way. Happy birthday to me. December 29th is my birthday. Everyone start planning now. Starting today, however, you can watch the trailer, if you missed it last night, for this thrilling Star Wars adventure of the legendary bounty hunter Boba Fett and mercenary Fennec Shand. Follow the journey of as the two navigate the galaxy's underworld to stake their claim on the territory once ruled by Jabba the Hutt. That is The Book of Boba Fett. Check out the trailer on Disney Plus starting today. It looked awesome.
It did look awesome.
It looks so good. I mean, if you're a Star Wars nerd like I am, like, Mandalorian, I thought, I think is amazing. Like, I've watched that series twice now. Like, it's so good. And these are characters that were in The Mandalorian. And so, I mean, Boba Fett, obviously. But anyway, just watch The Mandalorian. Watch the, if you haven't seen The Mandalorian, watch The Mandalorian between now and December 29th. And then Book of Boba Fett comes out. Disney Plus, let's go.
All right, Stefania, let's keep the injury updates rolling here. We have a couple out of Seattle. Most importantly, Russell Wilson.
Yeah, Russell Wilson on Instagram has been posting very artistic pictures since he's been out with this finger injury and surgery. And yesterday he posted a picture of the pin that was in his finger anchoring the joint where he had the tendon repair. And it was clearly no longer in his finger. And his quote and his caption underneath it said, "No more pin. Time to win." So I think everyone's taking that as a sign like, hey, could he be back for the next time they play, which is next week. They're on a bye this week, next week against the Green Bay Packers. Pete Carroll said after he had it out, you know, this doesn't just mean automatically you go to play. They have to let it heal after you have the pin removed. They have to see how he looks. The doctors have to reevaluate it. Then they'll see if he can throw, et cetera, et cetera. But it certainly paves the way for him to start progressing back towards a return. And then Chris Carson, the running back, who was on IR with a neck injury. And last week we were talking about Pete Carroll's comments on his weekly radio show appearance saying that he wasn't sure that Chris Carson would play again this year because of this neck condition. Chris Carson apparently wants to be reevaluated next week and wants to return to practice and have a shot to play against Green Bay. So at least that sounds like it's a possibility. Obviously, it's something serious that's been plaguing him. So they have to be confident that he's healthy enough to take contact. That's really the big issue here.
Question for you, Stefania. Trent Krim, the Independent. Hey,
I like the wig.
Thank you. So did I. I had hair for once in my life. I was super excited. Just similar to Derrick Henry, I'm curious. I have Chris Carson. You know I love Chris Carson. I'm a Chris Carson stan. I have Chris Carson in every single dynasty league I'm in, except for one, the one that we're all in together. What I'm asking is purely for me now. What's the prognosis for Chris Carson? Not just this season, right? We'll see if he comes back this year. It's obviously a positive sign, but what do you think about him long-term? Cause I think this was an eye-opening injury for a lot of people, including myself, when like, you're like, oh wow, it's that serious. Like, he could be shut down for the year. And this is somebody that's, you know, dealt with nagging injuries throughout his career.
Well, I think this one's different, right? This is different than all the other things, because once we heard about this neck injury, it's not like we see guys on the injury report all the time with something related to their neck. It's football, after all. They take a lot of hits that involve neck and head. But we found out this is a chronic condition that he's been dealing with over time. Whenever you hear about that, when I hear about that and it's something in the spine, chronic automatically means degenerative. Doesn't mean that they're going to fall apart in the next year or two, but it means that over time, it has the potential to become more problematic. But we don't know what that path is. Like, is it over a year to 3 years that it becomes much more problematic? Or is it something that once it stabilizes, it's good for another 5 years, and then it's a problem? We don't know the answer to that. But for me as a player, if I was looking at Dynasty, it would make me a lot more concerned about the future of Chris Carson.
More on Chris Carson next week as the Seahawks return to practice at that time. Let's go to New Orleans, Stefania. We could be quick here as we got the official word we were expecting on Jameis Winston.
Yeah, officially out with a torn ACL and injury to his MCL, so he is done for the season.
More to come on Taysom Hill later on in the show. Will Fuller update, Stefania? The update seems to be there is no update.
Yeah, well, it's interesting because last week, Brian Flores said Will Fuller was getting closer to a return, and now on Monday of this week, he said that Fuller will not be practicing at all this week. So to me, that's pretty dramatic difference from the optimism of a week ago. He's been on IR with the finger injury and has not been back since. And there's really no indication of when he will be coming back.
Keep an eye on that one in week 10. Elijah Mitchell, Stefania, has been really good for the 49ers. Unfortunately, now he's a little bit banged up.
Yeah. Who isn't, honestly, on this team? I think the Giants are the only team that might have more dramatic injury concerns than the 49ers. But Elijah Mitchell dealing with a rib injury, according to Kyle Shanahan. They expect him to be limited at practice on Wednesday. So the good news is that they are anticipating he'll practice tomorrow. But stay tuned, because that's a concern for them. Elijah Mitchell is clearly their top running back. I will say this. They have They are going to open the practice window for Jeff Wilson Jr., who, remember, had meniscus repair after getting injured in OTAs. I think he was standing up from a chair in the locker room. That's when he got hurt. So there's possibility that Jeff Wilson Jr. could be returning in the near future, although not automatically back by this week. And George Kittle's practice window opens this week as well.
There's some good news on George Kittle, who's been disappointing for fantasy this year so far, but the 49ers could really use a spark in the passing game.
Seems like if Elijah Mitchell were to miss time, it'd be Jamichael Hasty and then Trey Sermon. Yeah. I mean, it's amazing how far Trey Sermon has fallen. Doesn't look like, you know, hopefully, you know, we get better news ahead on Elijah Mitchell. Real quickly, though, for the people that spent all their fab budget on Elijah Mitchell, we recommended that when that first happened. And we've got so much grief, you and I, Field, about that. Like, you guys are crazy and blah, 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 you know. And so now, aren't you happy you did? For those that did, like, other than sifting through the rubble, hoping that, you know, hoping you land Adrian Peterson right now? Like,
yeah.
You know?
Well, there are two benefits to it. A, if the player is really good, you've got, you know, a long time. B, is that, like, each week into the season, your fab budget becomes less valuable because of the fact that you just have less weeks left in the year to actually utilize whatever player you do add, and the pool of players shrinks by the week.
1,000%.
Let's get to the Monday Night Football recap as the Chiefs win 20-17 over the Giants. A late field goal from Harrison Butker with 1:04 left gives them the win. Patrick Mahomes, not great. 275 passing yards, a touchdown, an interception, 10 rushing yards, just 14 fantasy points. Under 20 fantasy points for the third time in 4 weeks. You know, Matthew, I'm not willing to sit here and tell you that the Chiefs' offense, specifically their stars, have been disappointing or are in a rut. Just that, like, when they are not immortal in their fantasy production, you look back on where they were drafted in the pre-draft process and you're like, it's a tough pill to swallow thinking about the premium you may have paid on Patrick Mahomes. But are you at all concerned about how they've looked recently on offense?
You don't love it. I mean, right, because it's like one bad, you're like, a bad day at the office. It sort of happens here. But, right, so he's had under 20 fantasy points now for the third time in the last 4 weeks.
Yeah.
He's got 5 touchdown passes in his last 4 weeks, right? He's averaging 15.9 fantasy points per game over the last 4 weeks. He's QB 20. Just give you a comparison. Trevor Lawrence and Ryan Tannehill have been better over the last 4 weeks than Patrick Mahomes. So, you know, to say that you're not concerned at all seems silly not to bring it up and be like, this ain't the guy you drafted. Having said that, like, he's Patrick Mahomes. He's surrounded by talent. And he has one of the best offensive minds in the game behind him. And they talked a lot about this last night on the broadcast, and you've seen it. Like, what they're doing is, over the last couple of weeks, teams have just said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to play two safeties deep. We're not going to give up the big long shot to Tyreek Hill. We're not going to let him just, you know, because we know this kid can throw it 80 yards. We're not going to let him do that. We're going to keep everything in front of us. And if he has to dink and dunk his way down the field, we're going to let him, because that's going to limit the possessions for the Chiefs. And even if they end up scoring, that drive took him 7 minutes as opposed to 45 seconds. Mm, yeah. And so we're going to limit the possessions for the Chiefs, and we're going to limit Patrick Mahomes. So, is it concerning? It is. In terms of an actionable item, I don't know that there is one. Like, am I actively trying to trade Patrick Mahomes? I am not. Am I actively trying to trade Tyreek Hill or Travis Kelce? I'm not, because the upside of those three players is worth more than almost anything you could get in a trade, unless somebody's willing to trade you draft day value for them. And draft day value for them is top two quarterback in fantasy in Patrick Mahomes, top three wide receiver in Tyreek Hill, number one tight end in fantasy, Travis Kelce.
Like, I agree on all that, by the way. But yeah, I think, by the way, your point, I think just, like, it's clear that they are much more of a grinded out offense this year than they were in previous seasons. Take away that Philadelphia game where they completely stomped the Eagles. Like, they have been much more about death by 1,000 paper cuts. It was reflected in the fact that last night, Tyreek Hill had 12 catches for 94 yards and a touchdown. So Tyreek Hill gives you 27.4 fantasy points. A down night for Travis Kelce, 4 catches on 27 yards. He did lose a fumble as well. I think the interesting part from the Chiefs last night is the running back.
But with Kelce, which was, I mean, what are you going to do?
What are you going to do? Will you train for anybody? Literally not a single tight end would you take over Travis. Not one.
Not even, would someone, I'll just devil's advocate. Somebody offers you Darren Waller.
I would politely decline that offer.
Yeah. I think it's a conversation. I think it's a conversation. Sure. I think the gap between Kelce and Waller has narrowed given the struggles over the last couple of weeks. But I agree with you that if we drafted today for the rest of the season, you're taking Kelce as the first tight end off the board.
I am. Let's talk about those two running backs here for a second, though. Because Clyde Edwards-Helaire is eligible to play in week 9. We'll see whether he does or not. But Darrell Williams, last night, if you read just the box score, you're thinking to yourself, great, 17 yeah. fantasy points, which was good. It was aided by the fact that he was a really good pass catcher, as he almost always is. But Derek Gore.
And, by the way, sorry to interrupt you, but and as we just talked about, again, they were playing two deep safety for a lot. So basically what was available to Patrick Mahomes quite a bit was these dump offs to Darrell Williams. He's a nice pass catching running back. So that ended up aiding the way the Giants played defense against Kansas City, aided Darrell Williams' box score production, which was necessary because after two drives, you're like, who the heck is Derek Gore?
Yeah, well, he only played 15 snaps, did Derek Gore. So I think there's a little of a cautionary tale here for Derek Gore. But he ran hard and he ran well. He had 48 rushing yards and a touchdown last night, Matthew. What I think probably the big takeaway is for me last night with Derek Gore is that I don't think that if Clyde Edwards-Helaire is out in week 9, I'm not ranking Derek Gore ahead of Darrell Williams. I'm actually not all that concerned about Darrell Williams in week 9. But when Clyde Edwards-Helaire returns, I think his value has gone down even further than it already was because, again, he's been disappointing, to put it kindly, over the first year and a half of his career that, like, those goal line carries that were hard to come by already for Clyde Edwards-Helaire, well, this guy, Derek Gore, looked like he could handle those without much problem last night. He was a good story. I don't think he's a waiver wire pickup. I don't think he's a, you know, must target right now. It's interesting. I think it means more, though, for Clyde Edwards-Helaire than it does Darrell Williams until CEH returns.
I'm not fully panicking, but I would say that I would think in a deeper league, I think Derek Gore, you know, necessitates a pickup. But in a standard 10-team league, I think he's lower on the priority list. I agree. But certainly a name that 24 hours ago wasn't on 99.9% of fantasy football's mind. And now, obviously, in a showy Monday Night Football national primetime game where he scores a touchdown, suddenly, you know, literally, I had people saying, like, is that Frank Gore? Did yeah. Frank Gore unretire? Like, you know, is that like...
I wonder if Derek Gore plays fantasy himself. Because if he does, do you think he started himself last night?
That would be a great question.
That would be a great
We got to find that out. Yeah, we'll get Adam Teicher on that. Yeah.
For the Giants last night, Devontae Booker, once again, rock solid, 17.5 fantasy points, 125 total yards. Until Saquon Barkley returns, he's locked in as an RB2. He's been a very, very useful waiver wire addition. Sterling Shepard and Kadarius Toney, Stefania. They both started the game, and they both did not finish the game.
Yeah, Sterling Shepard left with a quad injury. It was a kind of a weird play. He appeared to be, like, slowing down. Again, these deceleration injuries seem to be taking a toll around the league, but it looked like something popped in his quad, and anyway, he was out for the rest of the game. Kadarius Toney had a hand. You could see it was bleeding, later reported as a thumb injury. He did come back into the game, so that's a positive sign, but... yet another mark on the injury report for the poor Giants.
Evan Ingram, yeah, we got it. I can't even offer anything on these Giants wide receivers right now because, A, we don't know if they're going to be available in week 9. B, we don't know if Kenny Galladay will be available in week 9 or anybody else that they've been dealing with on injury recently, whether it's a Saquon Barkley. So we'll revisit the Giants on Wednesday. I love Kadarius Toney's talent, but even before the hand injury last night, it looked to me like he was a little bit banged up, did not seem to be running nearly as many routes. He was handling some return duties. He did throw a pass last night as well, but I don't know that Kadarius Toney is quite yet at 100% for the Giants.
Just to add to that field, he was questionable coming into that game, and I think they weren't sure because his ankle is still an issue, and we know that he left a game before this because he aggravated the ankle, so clearly not 100%.
Evan Ingram had 3 catches, 15 yards, and a touchdown. Let's bite our tongue on any Evan Ingram analysis in case he is traded by 4 p.m. Eastern time today. Before we get to the waiver
I'm curious, because if you take off your fantasy hat for a second, put on your NFL insider hat,
yeah.
What do you think the odds are that Ingram gets dealt? The Packers are a team that has been, you know, obviously with the injury to Tonyan. And
yeah, I think it's legitimate. That's why I mentioned it.
Yeah. Okay.
I think I'd be standing by for... he's amongst the names that people are keeping an eye on today, right? There's always deals that can come out of nowhere. Von Miller is an example of that. But there are also names today that everybody is watching closely, whether it's a Marlon Mack, whether it's an Evan Ingram, whether it's a...
Jamison Crowder?
Yeah, I don't think so. But the
interesting.
Jets, you know, the Jets need somebody to catch passes right now.
I mean, they do, but right? Isn't he a free agent at the end of this year?
Yeah, but they haven't gotten enough out of the young guys. Denzel Mims is a ghost. Corey Davis is hurt. Like,
Interesting. Okay.
Well, he's good. He is a free agent after this year. Yeah. So there are a number of names that we're keeping an eye on today. But and I think Evan Engram is part of that group of names that we should be keeping an eye on. Before we get to the waiver wire, Daniel, somebody else had to say goodbye.
Oh, Lexa, one of our favorite people from the fantasy show, unfortunately gets eliminated after getting only 8 points combined from Mike Williams and Justin Jefferson.
That's just terrible. That's so...
Yikes.
She had a good run, though. 8 weeks
she
is
did.
A good, good
Eight
run.
Weeks.
She did. She's been a PA on the fantasy show for a couple of years. She does a great job for us. We love you, Lexa. Just not your fantasy team, which is no longer part of the league.
I'll miss you.
That's tough. All right, going to keep moving on, though, with the Survivor
Patrick
League again.
Patrick Mahomes was her quarterback, too, by the way.
Really?
Yeah.
Listen,
yeah. So
Mahomes got Jefferson, me negative Mike points Williams. A week ago. Yeah. Yeah. Negative. Like, yeah.
What league was that?
Scott Fishbowl.
Oh, okay. That's right. Yes, yeah. So those incompletions. And Scott Fishbowl can get a little bit wonky. We will discuss the waiver wire in just a second. But before we do you own or rent your home?
Sure you do.
And I bet it can be hard work. You know it's easy? Bundling policies with GEICO. GEICO makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. And it's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's GEICO easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
This episode is also brought to you by Captain Morgan. NFL fans know with the season underway, you got to have the right players for all 60 minutes to bring that spark. Sometimes you got to sub someone in order to switch things up. Same thing goes for that drink in your hand on game day. So if you're looking to sub in something more refreshing, pour yourself a delicious, crisp Captain Morgan Original Spiced Rum and Ginger. Sub in the captain, Captain Morgan, the official spice rum of the NFL. Visit CaptainMorgan.com to find Captain near you. Drink responsibly. Captain Morgan Rum Company, New York, New York.
Time now to get into the waiver wire. I'm going to hand the baton over as the host to Matthew in just a second. A reminder that the teams on a bye this week. Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Detroit Lions, Seattle Seahawks, and the Washington football team. I'd make the case that no team has more fantasy relevance at every position than the Buccaneers. Quarterback in Tom Brady, a running back in Leonard Fournette, three receivers, Evans, Godwin, and obviously AB as well, a tight end in Gronk, a defense that's outstanding, and a kicker that's really good as well in Ryan Succop. Lot of areas to fill in this week. Matthew.
No question about it. We're also missing the Detroit Lions and DeAndre Swift and TJ Hockenson. We're missing DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, and the running backs of the Seahawks. Plus, of course, we're missing Russell Wilson and, of course, Terry McLaurin of my Washington professional football team. I put professional in quotes.
You like it. See, that's... You didn't even mention Antonio Gibson. That's how disappointing he's been. Yeah.
I didn't want to set you off.
Oh, come on.
I didn't want to set you off.
We're way past that point. I don't care. Whatever. I mean, it's a terrible draft pick.
All right, Field Gates, let's start it. So if you're trying to replace Tom Brady, if you've been sort of streaming the position since Russell Wilson went down, talk to me about quarterback and Taysom Hill. We talked about Jameis Winston's injury earlier in the year. Earlier in the show, I should say.
Every single week. If your quarterback were to get you 20 fantasy points, would you be okay with that?
I would be okay with that.
Okay. How about 21.2 fantasy points? Would you be good with that as well?
Also good better. With that,
How
sure.
How about 22.2 fantasy points?
That's even better.
Okay, yeah, that sign sounds me up. Great. Because I understand that Taysom Hill might have get a little bit fortunate with all the rushing touchdowns he had last year, but he had a four-game sample size filling in for Drew Brees as the starter for the Saints. 18.9 fantasy points in week 14, week 13, 23.6 fantasy points. Week 12, a game in which the Saints barely had to play offense because Kendall Hinton was starting for the Broncos in that game at quarterback. He, of course, at the time was a practice squad wide receiver. He still had 17.5 fantasy points, did Taysom Hill. The week before that, 24.2 fantasy points. He was the third best quarterback in fantasy in that week. The Saints are bereft of pass catchers right now. There is no two ways about that. But the upside in Taysom Hill is the possibility that he can run for 50 yards in a game, he can run for a touchdown in a game, and he can throw for 225 or 250 yards per game. Other than that Denver game, when again, they didn't have to play any offense, he had at least 230 passing yards in each of those three games. The teams that they play coming up, I'm not sure which defense truly, truly scares you over the next three. Atlanta at home. Tennessee, it's a good defense, but that secondary is not exactly...
That's right.
This is not the Legion of Boom back there. And then at Philadelphia, things get a little dicier against Buffalo all the way in, I think that would be week 12, but we'll cross that bridge when we get to it.
Again, but here the thing about Taysom Hill is that the rushing keeps his floor high.
Right.
And I think Taysom Hill, we made this point yesterday, but I want to be more specific now that we know the Adrian Peterson news and everything like that. I think Taysom Hill is a priority on the waiver wire, and I'll tell you why. Even if you have a quarterback, you're like, I'm good. Right. You know, I'm fine. I've got Josh Allen. I've got Lamar Jackson, whatever. I got Kyler Murray. I feel good. Aaron Rodgers. I feel good about where I'm at. I hear you. But I guess my thing is that I'm sitting here trying to replace Derrick Henry. I'm trying to replace Calvin Ridley. None of the running backs Field's going to mention, including Adrian Peterson, is Derrick Henry. Mm-hmm. None of the wide receivers you mentioned is going to be anywhere close to Calvin Ridley or Calvin Ridley's upside. But Taysom Hill, as you just mentioned, Taysom Hill could get you close enough to the production of a Josh Allen, of a Aaron Rodgers, of a Lamar Jackson, of whoever you're rolling out there at quarterback, honestly. And so if you picked up Taysom Hill, it's going to be hard to trade in your league. Hey, this guy I just grabbed off waivers, you want to trade for him? Those are sometimes hard to do. But, hey, do you want Josh Allen? Do you want Aaron Rodgers? That's a call most fantasy managers will take and engage with. And so maybe you can, to me, that's a more interesting way to try to address if you've lost Derrick Henry, if you've lost Calvin Ridley, if you've lost another player, you're trying to fill a hole, is even though you have a quarterback, now you've created depth for yourself at a different position. Because I think of all the players we're going to talk about today, Field, tell me if you disagree, Taysom Hill is the guy that is closest to a legit every week, set it and forget it starter.
I think so, especially because this year, there have been great quarterbacks, no doubt. Brady's been amazing. Josh Allen's been amazing. But we just talked about it with Patrick Mahomes. Think about some of the other quarterbacks that haven't been like unbelievable this year, right? Like
after a hot start, Kyler's been QB9. He's been whatever.
Decidedly, Justin Herbert's had some recent, against the Ravens, bye week, Patriots. Over the past 3 weeks, you have not been happy about having Justin Herbert as your starter. So there are some guys who are stars, no doubt, but haven't been quite as dominant as they were last year.
Lamar has been closer to last year's Lamar than 2019 Lamar.
Yep. You know, Stafford's been great. There have been a few that have been really awesome, but we have not seen as many dominant week in, week out quarterbacks. So let's move to running back then. And we talked about Adrian Peterson already. Matthew and I are in agreement that if you had the first pick in your waiver wire today, it's Adrian Peterson. But if you don't, or if you just were looking for something that might be a bit more certain for 1 week, Boston Scott could fit that bill. And this was a little bit of a tough one for me. But for those that may have missed the Philly-Detroit game, if you look at the box score, you're saying to yourself, like, oh, Kenneth Gainwell, he had 13 total touches. He had one touch until the fourth quarter. It was very bizarre. I don't know what happened there. I'm not going to speculate. I don't know if maybe Philly just wants him to be what he had been prior to the Miles Sanders injury, which is the change of pace back. But Boston Scott got the work early. It was a little bit concerning that Jordan Howard got the finishing runs, right? He found the end zone twice as a pounder, but Boston Scott found the end zone twice as well. He just offers more between pass catching, more explosive, better overall player than Jordan Howard right now. So Boston Scott would be a top waiver wire add at running back if you don't want to go for Adrian Peterson.
He's had 5 career games with 15 or more touches. He averages over 103 yards per game in those total yards in those 5 games. And, you know, prior to the Detroit game, Kenneth Gainwell was averaging about 9 touches a game. Mm-hmm. Thirsty Kyle, correct me if I'm wrong on that, but I think it's about 9 touches a game prior to this week. Gainwell was a pass catcher. That's how they wanted to use him. And we thought maybe they would increase his usage. And I wonder how much of that is that they like him in that role. He is a rookie still, right? Boston Scott's been in the system for a while. He's more of a veteran. Or how much of that was also game flow? Again, the Eagles have been either even or trailing in a lot of games this year. They dominated Detroit from start to finish.
Totally.
So they didn't need to throw as much. You know what I mean? And so I wonder...
100% agree.
Yeah, I mean...
We'll see more of him this weekend, meaning Kenneth Gainwell against the Chargers on Sunday, which we expect to be a higher scoring affair on both sides compared to that Philly-Detroit game.
Correct.
Weak for pass catchers, but I want to throw one name on there, and he may be just a deeper league consideration.
Sure.
But for all the things that the Jaguars have not done well this year, they have found something in Jamal Agnew, who, of course, in his previous stop in Detroit, was best known for his special teams contributions. He used to be a safety back in Detroit. He's awesome on special teams still, but he has found a legit role as their slot receiver. He had 12 targets in week 8, did Jamal Agnew. 6 catches, 39 yards, and a touchdown. It's not going to be a ton of big play upside here, even though he is very fast. The way that they are utilizing him is kind of what they were doing with Laviska Shenault before this. You play in a deep league, though. I believe it's 25 targets over his past 3 games for Jamal Agnew, and they can't pass protect for Trevor Lawrence. They're a complete disaster. They can't run the ball this week against the Bills. I would think this will keep up, Daniel.
Yeah, I want to put this out here. Our buddy Ryan McDowell tweeted this out. On Sunday, Jamal Agnew ran more routes and played more snaps than Laviska Shenault. He also saw 3 times as many targets, caught 3 times his number of passes, and had 3 times the yardage of Laviska Shenault. I don't know what's going on there with Laviska Shenault, but it does appear as though they like Jamal Agnew and they want to find a way to get him involved.
They've definitely found something there with Jamal Agnew. And, you know, a lot of things, I think a lot of times people hear the phrase slot receiver and they think kind of, they sort of think Edelman, right? They think a possession guy, good with his hands, good route runner, that kind of stuff. Here's the thing about Jamal Agnew. He's fast as hell. I mean, that's the other thing. Like, all those things are true that I said about Agnew, like good route runner, good with his hands, et cetera, but fast as hell. The play that I think most people might be aware of, because probably people aren't watching a ton of Jacksonville Jaguars, is that the long kickoff. Remember that there was a missed field goal.
9-yard return, yeah.
Yeah, there was a missed field goal in a Jaguars game. I think, was it the London game? What game was it?
It was the Cardinals, because Matt Prater kicked it to him.
That's right. Yep. It was the Cardinals game. And from the back of the end zone, thank you very much, Matt, Prater misses the field goal. Jamal Agnew takes it from the back of the end zone.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet.
And scores a touchdown. Like, and so I think most people remember that play.
Line to line.
Yeah. And so, I mean, but that's how fast he is. Jamal Agnew's got legit speed. I like the call. I think he's probably more of a deeper league because I don't think there's a lot of touchdown equity just both as a slot receiver and being on the Jaguars. But certainly in deeper PPR leagues needs to be rostered in more. What about a tight end field?
Yeah, Pat Freiermuth, who I think I've said this before, but I'll keep saying it every single time. This is becoming my version of My Little Cooper Cup. Pat Freiermuth, who went to Brooks School, the second best athlete to ever come out of that school behind only my wife Chapin, has looked good recently. He's got consecutive games with 7 targets. He found the end zone on Sunday. He's a big body. Eric Ebron was out on Sunday. That certainly contributed to it. But, you know, the Steelers have found something in Freiermuth. He's not the most athletic guy. He is not like Mike Gesicki in terms of movement in the middle of the field. But good, strong hands, solid. That Pittsburgh offense doesn't have a ton of touchdown upside. We know they're really grinding things out right now. But you could do much worse than Pat Freiermuth, who's been, for the past few games, big part of that offense.
Ever since Juju Smith-Schuster went out for the year, what they're looking for in the middle of the field is Freiermuth, who I believe he was a second-round pick.
Second-round pick.
They like him a lot. Ebron, certainly Freiermuth is probably rostered in every dynasty league if for some reason, like his dynasty prospects quite a bit. But certainly I think he's a very viable tight end this year, especially with Juju done for the season. And the other thing I'll just mention here as you head into waivers tonight, Field, as we've sort of talked about a little bit, but watch the trade deadline because there's a chance that Evan Ingram is A, available in your league, and B, his fantasy prospects improve quite a bit after the trade deadline. Same with a lot of other players as well. Marlon Mack being one of them, maybe Jamison Crowder. We will see what happens with the trade deadline. But good luck tonight in waivers.
We'll come back with a couple of leftover thoughts, but before we do, football and basketball seasons are back, and best of all, the safe return of live events
means you can actually be there with all the action with Vivid Seats. Front seats on the 50-yard line to a bird's eye view to parking passes. Being there is all that matters. And get this, with Vivid Seats rewards, you can earn rewards like free tickets. All you have to do is collect stamps, redeem, and repeat. It is that easy. So grab your tickets today and cheer on your favorite team from the stands. Events for every fan. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
No matter what the sport, professional leagues go through a rigorous process to select the best athletes for their teams. What if you had the tools to put that type of rigor into your hiring process? Well, you've got them when you use ZipRecruiter. And right now you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/06010. So how does ZipRecruiter scout the best and brightest for your team? Its matching technology scans resumes across its network of millions of job seekers to find qualified candidates for your open roles and proactively presents them to you. Then you can easily review recommended candidates and invite your top choices to apply for your job, which encourages them to apply faster. No wonder 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. And right now you can try ZipRecruiter for free. Just go to this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/06010. That's ZipRecruiter/06010. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Let's do a big day for green flying things, Field. Brought to you by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Go to geico.com today. And we're going to
love the thought generation here on the 06010. Who thought we would be doing a segment on big flying green things?
That's right. I want to start with the New York Jets on page 6, if you don't mind, Field, because I think there's a lot of really fun conversation with this team.
There is, and there might be something to this. We'll talk about it more on Thursday's show because the Jets do play the Colts, but Mike White, what a day for Mike White. 37 of 45, 405 passing yards, 3 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, 26.1 fantasy points. He completed 37 passes, which is the most by any player in his first career start in NFL history. I love this stat from Bill Barnwell that he joined Cam Newton as the only quarterbacks to ever throw for over 400 yards in his first career start in the NFL. It was fun, Matthew. I think the question is, are people going to want to turn to Mike White, as ridiculous as this may seem, on Thursday night against the Colts?
I think there are probably better streamers out there. I'd prefer Carson Wentz, for example, who's available more than 50% of ESPN leagues. I'd prefer Wentz against the Jets than Mike White against the Colts. It's a great story. He's an easy guy to root for. I love the story. There's a story on ESPN.com right now about a guy that bet $1,000 on
a player prop.
He bet $1,000 for Mike White to lead the NFL in passing yards in week 8.
No, he did not.
125-1.
And he won 125K.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. On $1,000.
Can you imagine going into Monday Night Football looking at that Patrick Mahomes and being like,
oh,
boy.
Right.
Yes. I got it. I just under 405. Yeah. And so anyway, shout out to that better wherever he or she may be.
New Jersey, I believe.
New Jersey. Yes. Makes sense. Where sports gambling is, of course, legal. And so it's a nice story here with Mike White. It feels like, and, you know, and of course, Robert Saleh is like, and you know, anything's on the table. Like, by the way, if there is a panicked manager in your dynasty or keeper league about Zach Wilson, make an offer right now.
Yeah, but I
also, that ain't. I'm sorry,
it's not happening. It is interesting that a coach
he would even open the door.
Yeah, you know, you feel like these coaches are typically so protective of their young quarterbacks, right? It'd be so easy to just say like, it ain't happening, right? Like Mike White gets it, right? But maybe. Maybe, I don't know, maybe Saleh and the quarterback.
He said later it
lap.
Was a heat of the moment. I mean, he
no,
kind
he
of...
somebody the other day, he declined.
I know, but he's not... Whatever.
The New York
no,
media.
No, whatever. What do you say, Stefania?
I was just saying, I think he was super fired up if you watch Saleh's personality. I think he was fired up and he said that and he didn't really mean it, but he's not going to go 180 on it. So he kind of scaled it back like, okay. He didn't want to say like, I misspoke. It's sort of a way he put himself in a box, basically. And I think he's trying to carefully.
I don't know. I would have gone a full 180. I mean, what's the harm in going 180? It's the number 2 overall pick in the draft. I was surprised by it, personally.
Right.
I thought this was.
I was too. Listen, he's an first-year head coach dealing with the New York media.
Yeah,
dealing with the media for a head coach is a whole thing.
And maybe also because in the short term, they don't know exactly when Zach Wilson's going to come back. It's a PCL injury. And even though they've given this 2 to 4 weeks, you don't know how long it's going to be. So
you want to have confidence in the kid. But listen, your whole franchise is built around Zach Wilson.
Right.
It created a problem that
Correct.
Wasn't there. But here's what I would say about Mike White, Daniel. Maybe this is where you're going to go. I think there are better streamers than Mike White.
Yes, there are.
But I think the Mike White story for our purposes is great in two things. Number one is that to the extent you're rostering a pass catcher on the Jets, like Jamison Crowder, and we'll see if Corey Davis can play Thursday night. I think as of right now, the expectation is that he will.
That
you have confidence that Mike White is competent enough to get your guy the ball.
Well, especially if your guy is a running back.
Right. And that's the next thing I was going to say is if you look at what Michael Carter has done over the last 2 weeks – in terms of his usage in the passing game, especially when Mike White came in 2 weeks ago to replace Zach Wilson, who was injured, and then last week against the Bengals, Mike White's been a lot of dink and dunk, and so Carter has been used significantly in the passing game in a way that he wasn't previously in the year. He's become a true three-down back, 172 yards, nine catches, he scores the touchdown, 32.2 fantasy points against the Bengals. He's now scored in three of the last four games, Field. I'm in on Michael Carter. I think this is legitimate, and it, by the way, Mike White being under center is good for Michael Carter.
Yeah, and I think that both the Jets running backs actually this past week, Ty Johnson, were very useful. It's hard to bet on an offensive strategy that is just basically dump the ball off to the running backs, but maybe if there ever were a perfect storm of circumstances in which to work, this could be it. You've got a young quarterback making just a second start on Thursday night. You've got a thin group of wide receivers. You've got an offensive line that's without its best player, Mekhi Becton. You don't have much time back there for Mike White. It could keep up. So I actually think that Ty Johnson could be a semi-usable piece as well.
Yep.
For teams, for people that are entering or dealing with a bye, whether it's Leonard Fournette as your second running back, or perhaps Antonio Gibson, maybe even J.D. McKissick, Chris Carson, etc., who will not be available in week 9.
Can I just want to ask a question.
Sure.
Because this is one of the things that's going to be tough for fantasy managers, right? Everyone's going to go and they're going to see these two huge games. They're going to go pick up Michael Carter. He's going to come back down to earth to be the player that he actually is, because there's no way he's going to keep doing this. What do you think, you know, I don't want to say rest of season because it's hard to say that, but what do you think, like, average Michael Carter is going to be for a fantasy manager?
What if he could be like a better version? I'm not saying he's quite there as a player yet, because this guy's really, really rock solid for a long time. But like, what if his fantasy output was a little bit better than James White was consistently, right? Like, five catches a game becomes a reality for him. Maybe he's more likely to rush for 40 yards in a game than he is to rush for 75 yards in a game. Maybe he gets 8 rushing touchdowns this season. That would be reasonable enough, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I was actually going to say
Chase Edmonds.
Yeah, you know, that's actually Chase Edmonds is a really good is a really good comp as well, because I think he has more rushing upside than a James White.
He does, yeah, for sure.
By the way, look at their upcoming schedule. So you got the Colts on Thursday night, which is, you know, not a defense that scares you. Like, they've struggled this year. They've been up and down this year. Buffalo next week, you don't love that, but then Miami and Houston.
It could be
like three of the next four are legitimately solid
games,
or
yeah,
great matchups. Yeah. For the Jets and for Michael Carter. And so, look, this is a talented player, obviously produced well at North Carolina along with Javonte Williams.
Yeah.
Chase Edmonds is a good one. I was actually going to say kind of a rich man's Jamal Williams, if you will. More usage than Jamal Williams, but again, like, good pass catcher who's also legitimately solid as a runner.
Yeah, no, he's been impressive for the Jets recently. They need him in a major way. Again, I don't think Jamison Crowder is dealt today, but if he were, and it's not a terrible idea, by the way, it would only mean that much more responsibility falling onto the shoulders of somebody like Michael Carter.
Jamison Crowder's had one. I mean, he started slow. Jamison Crowder is a good football player.
He's a professional football player. I don't get why he hasn't been. I mean, honestly, I would have traded for him before the season began. $5 million for a guy like Jamison Crowder is a very reasonable value at wide receiver.
By the way, 6 targets and a rushing attempt in consecutive games now for Elijah Moore. Preseason darling, a lot of hype around him. Started slow, yeah, banged up.
Picking up a little bit.
But just a name, again, like, speculating, he may have been dropped in a lot of leagues. I don't mind a speculative ad on Elijah Moore. I don't know that you're using him against the Colts, but certainly somebody that we expect better things out of him in the second half, as long as we're talking the Jets.
If you signed up for the live show tonight, be part of it at 6 p.m. Eastern time. Matthew, Stefania, and Daniel will be there. Matthew, you'll be back with us on Monday. You got a couple days off coming up.
A couple of days off. Small medical thing. Everything is fine. Everything is good. But I'm doing this so that everything is fine.
Yes.
So taking care of myself. So anyway, but there will be a love-hate column this week. There will be a new episode of The Fantasy Show on ESPN Plus as well. But just Mike Clay going to handle... Is Mike Clay going to handle Friday?
I'm going to sit in the seat tomorrow.
You'll be in the seat tomorrow. Mike is here, as he always is, on Thursdays, and then he'll also
be there Friday.
So thank you, Mike Clay, for filling in as well. And I'll be back next week, right? And listen, if you like my T-shirt, fantasylife.com.
If you want to watch an ESPN trade deadline special, do so today at 3 p.m. Eastern time. And at 8 p.m. Eastern time tonight, Tuesday. We're doing a preview show of Man in the Arena. It is the forthcoming Tom Brady documentary on ESPN+. It's fantastic. I don't care if you like the Patriots. I don't care if you like Tom Brady or not. Watch it. It'll be worth your time. 8 p.m. Eastern time. Check out a preview of all the things that are going to come during the upcoming
Is it just
weeks.
You or
tonight,
you have a
myself,
guest?
Myself with a little bit of Teddy Bruschi involved as hey, well. And some exclusive clips. I promise you it'll be worth your time. Ranking talk and so much more tomorrow.
So check out all that. For Field, Daniel, Stefania, I am Matthew. Peace out.
He's a fantasy guru in a boat on an island, going full Hainsworth without even trying. Award-winning creations like his news or noise segment are reasons we all love the cut of his jib. Country fast and strong, portaling away again in Matthew Berryville, searching for a field shoe in a pile of junk. When you lose a bet, you have one year to pay. He's the king of football fantasy.